Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
1 o'clock hour on a Tuesday here in KC. Hope everybody's having a great day. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Earlier today, we did air what Matt Quatrero and J.J. Piccolo had to say about this 2025 season and looking ahead to 2026. We reacted a little bit to some of the news there. Tomorrow, we'll bring back some more of that and talk some of the other offseason decisions they're going to make. We will certainly have Josh Vernier's perspective on that. He's actually going to be our fan club Friday guest. Feels like it's a good one for
good
Friday.
So
Vern will be in studio, and we'll talk some more Royals baseball with him then as well.
Nate, do you think my hair looks darker than normal?
It was a random question today. So Nate Taylor obviously is in studio. We're going to talk some Chiefs football.
There's multiple people now saying my hair looks darker.
It does.
Okay. What?
Yes.
What's going on?
It does.
I got multiple messages yesterday, and it turns out, I guess Dusty said something as well. And
Drew?
A few people were watching on the stream, and they're like, you know what? It does. And I
couldn't tell too much of a difference.
He said he changed shampoos, but like not to.
At least I didn't notice.
Do you think
it.
That's it?
Maybe.
It's darker.
It is.
I wish we had a true side by side.
Well, we have a stream 4 hours every day. We just go back 2 months and look.
Because I tried to go to Friday because it changed from, I noticed it yesterday. Friday he was wearing a hat, so I couldn't.
Right. Not a great look. No, I don't know if it's just because we have now officially starting to enter fall.
Maybe I'm outside less.
Maybe. Yeah. Hey, maybe, you know, maybe that you've got some football, maybe you had a couple beers. I don't know, you know.
Were you cutting your hair way shorter before? Now you're letting it grow out, so it's showing more.
This is about the normal range in which I would normally. About the normal range I would normally get a cut. I'll probably get one sometime this week, so we'll see when I get a cut.
Said the shampoo change. I wonder if it's making your hair thicker, which as a result is making it look darker. I mean, that might actually be the reason.
I don't have any idea.
It wouldn't work. You said it wouldn't work in 2 days if it was just hair thickening shampoo.
I don't know.
It's not a miracle cure.
I don't know.
That quick?
I don't know. My wife hasn't responded yet, so I can't tell you about the shampoo yet.
I told him to ask his wife, like, hey, what kind of shampoo are we using here? What's going on? We're going to find out it has some, like, color, you know, I don't know what they call
enhancements.
It.
Enhancements.
Or whatever it is. Anyway.
Yeah.
But she's also using it. It's not like she's trying to make her hair darker.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, that's why the body is so interesting. People can eat the same thing, have totally different results.
That's exactly right.
Just a beauty of life,
my friend. And you can get one of your better playmakers back on offense, and everything can look different, too.
What a difference.
Woo! I mean, my God.
Now, I will say, the Ravens' defense is definitely a part of that. So we can establish that right away. That's at least part of why you look way better.
Sure.
Yes, this is one of the few times, ladies and gentlemen, where I could say, with full-throated confidence that I was right.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It feels so good. I was, as you guys know, I'm on with Carrington on Friday. We got the full injury report.
Yeah.
I talked to my buddy Jameson, who covers the Ravens for us at ESPN, and it was just made very clear to me that, like, not only is this team banged up, but I've watched enough film of that previous game against the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football. I was just like, and you're telling me, based on what, you know, I'd heard from the Chiefs' perspective about Xavier Worthy and the fact that, I mean, he could have done much of the same the week before in New York.
They just didn't need him.
Yeah, and it was just, hey, we're just going to be extra careful. Another week will do you nothing but more good in terms of the recovery process and getting you ready to play. Plus, the coaching staff can take a little bit more time in terms of how they want to utilize you with, obviously, another game on film. I think they made the wisest decision, of course. We saw that Tracy had his own shoulder injury. The turf the very next week takes out Malik Nabers for the season.
Yep.
I completely agree with Odell Beckham. So, hey, cooler heads prevailed. You made the right decision, even though Xavier Worthy thought he was going to play against the Giants, and he basically told us such after the game on Sunday. So I was right, because not only were they banged up entering the game, but they didn't look like a unit, in cohesiveness, communicating, coming off the ball well. I know much of their defensive line is already decimated with injuries. So when you don't have anything to scout ahead of time with Xavier Worthy outside of like a handful of preseason snaps, and you're at home, the Chiefs had the extra day of rest, of course. They needed the game just as much as Baltimore. I just felt like, for whatever reason, this is one of the few times where I didn't understand why Vegas, I think all the way up till kickoff, still had them as like a 2.5 point favorite. And I just kept
the Ravens thinking, have, like, been favored since week two of last season.
Yeah,
my point was always,
I didn't understand it.
My point from the beginning last week, this is one of the times we felt like we were really right on the show, is
yes,
that the Chiefs offense was a lot closer to being the Ravens offense than the Ravens defense being the Chiefs defense.
Right.
If you look at all the underlying numbers, I know points per game were still the same disparity between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But if you looked at all the underlying numbers, the Chiefs were closer to performing like the Ravens offensively than the other way around. The Ravens defense had shown no ability to stop anyone. And it certainly didn't pick up steam against the Chiefs. They walked up and down the field.
Right. And I just want to remind people, as much as we've talked about the offensive line in relation to Patrick Mahomes, the much can be said about Lamar Jackson. Like, he got sacked 7 times, and it wasn't because the Lions did something like super duper elaborate. It was just, hey, they were physically outworking you a lot on those sacks. And with Rodney Stanley having yet another injury, which has kind of been his MO over the last 5 years, it's like, well, if he's not practicing, that does not bode well based on his age that he's just going to show up Sunday and be awesome. So he didn't finish the game. Obviously, Roquan Smith didn't finish the game.
Marlon Humphrey, but it was already it was turning towards an ass kicking before the guy started missing.
If Harrison Butker makes the field goal, right after the 2-minute warning, it would be 23-7.
It was a 6-point swing there because they got the field goal right after too.
Correct. And based on the short field, because you missed, 56 yarders. So, I mean, if your kicker makes that kick, it's hard to see Baltimore going down the field to get in field goal. You know, you need 50, 40 yards to get in field goal range comfortably within, a minute, and some change and maybe a couple turnovers. It's hard to see based on how Steve Spagnuolo had sort of roped a dope, I thought, Lamar Jackson, which is saying it's just one of the more, comically brilliant coaching jobs where it's
he picked on him. He made him so uncomfortable.
Hey, man, you can have whatever you want the first drive. Whatever you want. Let me just see the formations.
And nobody adjusts after our first drive.
I mean, it's crazy.
Quite like Spags.
And then he's like, the moment you get past midfield or get close to midfield, we're lighting your you-know-what on fire, okay? Because I want to remind people, they didn't blitz at all. They didn't show any sort of disguised looks. They just said, hey.
Base defense.
This is our base defense, and we're lining up in, two deep safeties. And, hey, the middle of the field's wide open for you, Lamar. Not anymore. So, they didn't have really an advantage at the quarterback, the coaching. They maybe had a slight advantage at the running back position, but because the game script changed so quickly in the second quarter, they couldn't use Derrick Henry. He even at one point in time was like, did he get dinged up, a little bit? And he obviously came
Justice
back.
Justice Hill was playing a lot more than him.
He was. And so, even that fourth and one play, Derrick Henry's not on the field.
That was weird.
And so, again, that goes to coaching. Was there something going on with Derrick Henry in terms of could he be out there, quite a bit? It was an overwhelmingly outstanding performance for the Chiefs when, hey, a team is still talented. but going through their own sort of struggles, just like you are, you want to see, you know, an actual 60-minute performance. And you got pretty close to that for this team. Now, understanding that they're the team that's trending towards the healthier group compared to their AFC rival that, you know, they've had the upper hand for quite a bit of time now.
Offensively, yes, Worthy being out there clearly changed everything for this team. When you look at how they utilize the running backs, though, in the game, what do you take from that moving forward for the rest of the year? We know they're going to, at the wide receiver level, get Rashee Rice at some point. Yep. The running backs are the running backs, though. Rashard Smith, we saw a little uptick in his opportunities, mm-hmm. and it was promising when he was on the field. It seemed like good things happened
yes.
when he was on the field. Do you think this is just the start of him becoming the legit third down back for them? Where are we at?
I don't think third down back necessarily, okay. guys. Now, I might be a little ahead of the trend, and so I'm saying this to inform everybody as to where the trend might go. It was around, if people remember, it was around mid-October that I told you guys, metrically, advanced statistics-wise, and per the eye test, that Clyde Edwards-Helaire should lose his starting job to Isaiah Pacheco. And one of the reasons I said that was because not only was there a speed factor, but there was an elusiveness and a toughness element that allowed him to break tackles at a higher success rate. The Chiefs made that change either right around the 49ers game or thereafter, and the offense literally became the best offense in football. Obviously, the Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know if that is necessarily replicable here, but what you notice is Kareem Hunt is their best third down back. And the third and six play to the outside, Mahomes manipulating the space, Kareem knowing exactly what to do. Man, that's the first time where it was like, oh, Jarrett McKinnon would do exactly that. I don't know if Samaje Perine would do that, but okay. Kareem has clearly been with Patrick enough and now being within the offense for a full year now that, hey, he knows what to do on third down, protecting the blitzes. He's gotten a little bit better at that. What is interesting about Rashard Smith is he's breaking tackles.
Yeah, that was nice to see. A running back break tackles.
And now it's up to Todd Pinkston, the assistant running back coach, who was a former NFL receiver, to improve this man's timing, eyes, and catching ability out of the backfield. The moment that happens, and then you can start to use the screen game with him involved, beyond just the explosiveness and the juice that we see from the backfield, it allows you to think, this is not going to be what I thought the season was, which is, like, hey, this is the best time for Isaiah Pacheco based on the year four of a rookie contract, coming back fully healthy after the injury last year, telling us on numerous occasions that his goal was 1,000 yards. Guys, we can scrap that now.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't know if it'll be necessarily a 50-50 split with Kareem as your short yardage, third down, you know, occasional sort of funky formations. If you want two running backs on the field along with two tight ends, they could use that a little bit more, I honestly believe, with Pacheco or Rashard Smith. I just think now it's getting to a point where I don't know if he'll earn the starting job, but he's definitely going to have to be someone that the Chiefs really cultivate and accentuate and develop over the course of the season to where – he might be getting just as many touches as Isaiah Pacheco.
I thought what was really interesting about it is in the first half, they all made mistakes. Pacheco on the screen pass. I mean, goodness,
it was all set up.
It was that, and he knows it too. That's the thing. Like Pacheco is in such a funk right now that, I remember putting the dots up within like minutes of the play and just being
they had two athletic offensive linemen and nobody in front.
And you want to see why people don't want to go into coaching. Because that took hours, guys. Physical hours. Time. Knowing the exact moment, the exact spot on the field, the exact timing, and he doesn't catch the football.
But the second that it seemed like, so he makes that mistake, Rashard maybe, he drops one in the flat. It seemed like everyone, stumble a little bit.
Yep.
The second Smith started to look good, that was the best Pacheco looked all year. Like, okay, my job. I felt like the best he looked all game was like, I might be in a little bit of a risk here, and maybe it was the drop pass that motivated him.
I think it's both. I think it's all encompassing.
He played a lot better, really, yes. after that moment. And that's the whole thing. It's like, look, I've seen every week I got to watch another play, and there was another one this week. Where you're like, why did you go to the inside? Why didn't you go to the outside? Just on the running plays. His vision in the running game is a problem because now the offensive line's playing well.
Right.
The problem is not they're not giving you any space to operate. That Correct. Was the best game the offensive line's played all season. Maybe the best game the offensive line's played in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so
no penalties for Juwan Taylor, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no pressures from Kingsley.
Correct.
Simmons, I didn't even notice a single guy get past him once. Andy said it, and he was right. It was Creed's best game.
Correct.
It was just the best game from the offensive line.
Right. And you could tell they were picking up the blitzes better or better anticipating it with Mahomes, right? So even if there's a free rusher, you know, based on the math, 6 against 5.
Or even just he backed off on that free rusher and just dropped one into Kelsey.
I was just about to say, hey, 5 on 6. That's okay. That's fine. I'll just. But based on where I know where he's coming and everything's blocked up, let me just throw one of the most audaciously ridiculous passes you'll see all season. It won't get like the sort of highlight love it deserves. But guys, I cannot tell you with a free runner going backwards, no stepping into the throw, no proper footwork, just a lot of flick of the wrist and like pristine timing and execution with like your favorite teammate in Travis, because you guys have been doing it for years, and places it beautifully. I mean, layers the ball. Doesn't put too much on it, but also puts enough air on it to let the tight end run under it. I mean, it's a gorgeous play. The defender has no chance on Kelsey in trail position to not only locate the ball, but to do something, right? To actually make a defense on the pass. It's an incredible throw. It's probably his best throw all year when you look at, again, circumstances, situation. And once he made that throw, he sort of took off.
Yeah, he was in. He was locked in after that.
And then again, so if the offensive line is playing well and you know, based on the personnel that you're going up against because the Ravens have injuries, sometimes I think Pacheco, it's like a hitter, right? And I don't want to make too much of a comparison here, but everybody understands that, like, sometimes the situation is 3-1. Please throw me a please throw me a fastball. Why he throw me a changeup? You know, it's like, hey, okay, I'm 0-2. He's not going to throw anything, you know, up and in. Oh, why is he doing that? So there's a lot of times where I feel like, to your point, Cody, it's blocked up. And it's like, all right, do what it says on paper. And he's like, so I want eagerness, so like ready to go that like, yes. Like, we would actually like patience there because it's blocked up properly. And then other times it's like, well, maybe it's not the exact angle, the exact running lane that's like on the paper, on the whiteboard.
It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to teach feel.
Swing. You know, the ball's in the strike zone. Swing. Like, if the lane's there, even if it's not on paper, like, you know, this is a team sport. Like, they might not be blocking it perfectly for you, but they are blocking it successfully. So make the most of it for your teammates. He's, for some reason, again, in a funk, and it's a lot of like, okay, he backdoor slide, you know, he hits you with the slider backdoor. And everybody in the stands goes, well, he's just standing there. It's the same thing from a running back standpoint where you're like, please just, you know, see ball, hit ball. You know, try to simplify it as best you can. It was slightly better production-wise, but the real test will come against Jacksonville because they actually create turnovers. And so if Pacheco, like, fumbles on Monday Night Football, or if there's a little bit more of a, all right, back to 3 yards per carry, and we gave you the ball 10 times. Well, okay, it's justifiable and understandable why Andy might abandon the run more than the average coach or sooner than the average coach would.
We're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. You guys were mentioning the offensive line there a little bit. We all know what this is. It's always good when nobody really wants to talk too much about the O-line. Like Juwan Taylor, nobody's talking about him. That's a great sign.
Yes.
As we said earlier, congratulations to him and his fiance as well.
It looked like a beautiful setup. Hey,
I'm sure.
No better time. I believe that was after the game. Based on my eyes and he was someone who was ready to get out of the locker room quickly.
Yeah,
boys.
Good for him. He played great.
Why is that?
Well, I just think he had other engagements too.
I tried to get a different offensive lineman engaged today.
Yeah,
we had Creed Humphrey on, and I said your fiance. He said girlfriend. I was like, oh, that's a oops.
Whoops. I mean, but that tells you. But then you
he said it's smooth. He didn't play it.
Yeah,
weird.
Then you put your hand on your friend's shoulder and it says that's just a sign of how strong y'all look right now. Ain't nothing coming between y'all.
I just know how confident you seem with each other.
By the way, they're a lovely couple. Like, I know what. Hey, everything's going great, pal.
Yeah, you know, the so Juwan Taylor, it was great to see him. Obviously, penalty free. Yep. Are we at the point now with Josh Simmons where I'm not saying he's an all-pro left tackle, but I mean, I feel pretty damn good where I don't have to really worry about
it. Boys,
are you there?
Let's look into it. Okay, Alex, let's look into it. Now, Jacksonville, again, I don't know what to make of this team, guys. So
stealing signs, huh?
They're a good defensive team.
They're pretty good defensively. Now, that's a good
quarterback. Good linebacker play.
That's a collection more so than the individual parts. Now, after Monday Night Football, becomes a nice little two-game stretch for Josh Simmons. And he knows it, and he's been preparing for it, I imagine. Aiden Hutchinson is coming on October 12th. And then, again, on a bit of a short week, because you play Sunday Night Football, and then you have the noon kickoff the following week, Max Crosby.
Who looked like the best player in the NFL on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
He made things absolutely miserable for the Bears. He actually, like, in all the NFL, he's one of, like, the five players that, like, when he's just on one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He does look like, I mean, we talk about a lot of great defensive players because they're on better teams.
Yes.
But he looks every bit as good as Micah Parsons or any of these other great defensive players when he's just on one. And on Sunday against the Bears, he had just decided he was going to be a one-man wrecking crew.
So I got a lot of baseball references. In
1-1, by the way. And Guardians did score. There was a review at home plate.
I don't like either one of these teams.
Yeah, Tigers won, Guardians won, top of the fifth.
Yeah, the Mariners are a fun group. Mm-hmm. So for whatever reason, I got a lot of baseball analogies in my head. Watching Max Crosby on tape reminds me of like the early. I got to look at this guy's baseball reference plays. It reminds me of Eric Barnes. Everybody remember him with the Oakland A's? Yeah. Oh, he was incredible. So this is like early 2000s, kids. Like, now I'm not saying Eric Burns is like an amazing player. He's not the same level as Max Crosby, but for 1 year, you know, Eric Burns was just doing it in like 2002, 2003, 2004. And, the story on him was man drank a lot of coffee, so much coffee. And that's what it looks like watching Max Crosby. It's like, dude, you are on a caffeinated level. Similar to everybody else. Yeah. So, like, he does not come off the field. He switches sides constantly. He knows, similar to, like, Chris Jones, hey, I can be matchup specific when I want to. So, hey, let me test out the young kid early in the game, see what he's got. You know, maybe I'll give him one of my, you know, quote-unquote standard pass rushing moves. But, I mean, Eric Burns, when he was with the African A's, was running in the outfield like a crazy person, making diving plays. He was crash car style outfielder, guys. Loved him to death back when those Billy Beane, you know, era Oakland A's teams. So when you see Max Crosby on a third down, you're like, okay, he knows it's a passing down. I know it's a passing down. He's clearly going to try to manipulate this one-on-one matchup. And then stop, man. Just stop, okay? Yeah. Like, if the first and the second move doesn't work, he has a third move? Like, you can just see that a lot of times with the offensive lineman. And the quarterback's like, how are you still doing this? Shouldn't you be tired? You know, a lot of teams will go like, all right, well, let's hurry it up. Let's go 2 minutes. He's like, Max Robbie's like, great, even better, because I know you're passing it. And it's just like, I know they tried with Christian Wilkinson, but if the Raiders just had competent players around him, like Max Crosby would get more love.
He ought to leave.
And instead, it's Max Crosby and the rest of the Oakland Raiders on defense, which is why they lose games.
Do you think that on the defensive side, do you think that Leo Chenal deserves more credit for being, I don't know, Spag Swiss Army Knife?
Yes, he's incredible.
He's formed him into the linebacker instead of like the I'm a defensive back and I play linebacker. He's the opposite Sorensen. And I don't mean that as a negative, as in like when he was using Sorensen all over. He's playing DB snaps. He's using them on the edge.
Yep.
He plays straight linebacker in coverage. Like, they've just decided, Chenal, we'll find a place to put you on the field. We don't know where it's going to be yet. But it's just pure athleticism. They've just decided they'll just let that play.
He has graduated because they got to spend so much time with Dan Sorensen early in like that 2019 to 2020 era. I remember like understanding fans' legitimate concern when the team was like, we love Willie Gay, but like, go test the market.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, you know, that's a little bit of like trying to project ahead. And Willie Gay was an athletic freak, man, in his prime. And so you're like, we could probably get him back on a 1 year deal. And like, quietly, it was like, well, we got Nick Bolton, we got Leo. And you're like, I mean, I think I know what Leo is, you know?
Like, yeah.
Leo looks exactly the way he should play. And from the moment, because he had a little bit more time, because he had a little bit more space, because you weren't giving those snaps to Willie Gay, they didn't draft anybody directly behind him. It just allowed them a lot of time to just experiment. And that's one of the brilliant things about Steve Spagnuolo is, okay, against Shanahan-type offenses, and specifically in that Super Bowl, you're just an edge player today. We're going to do five, basically, defensive linemen, and you're going to wreck the world for George Kittle. Like,
yeah.
You
just got to do pass rush moves, but against a tight end.
Yeah, so. And you got to set the edge so hard that George Kittle doesn't want to do this anymore, which is one of his greatest strengths, similar to Rob Gronkowski, is, hey, you can always run it to my side because I'm a really good blocking tight end and I have the versatility to be good in the receiving game. Okay, well, he'll do that again against Shanahan-style offenses. Last year, in the most ridiculously hilarious manner, told Lamar Jackson, hey, guess what? What you watched in our postseason matchup, that don't matter anymore. That guy's the spy now. You know, so he's not the additional pass rusher coming after you. He's just waiting on you. And you think, because the way he looks compared
he's
to the
gonna
way
come.
You look, yeah. That like, oh, I'll just beat him why he tackled me? He's like, no, because Leo Chenault's an athletic, crazy, maniacal person too. And in the most incredible manner, guys, Lamar, this is one of the few times where he sees the blitz and he knows, okay, here comes Nick Bolton. I got time. It is zero coverage. I know my matchup. There it is, boys. Mark Andrews versus Leo Chenault. And the moment he threw the football, I said, uh-oh. Because I could see it from the press box, you know, the all 22. And I go, uh-oh. And then out of nowhere, Leo Chenault does something we haven't seen in 2 years. Not only does he turn his head, he locates the ball, boxes out Mark Andrews, and makes an incredible catch.
He said in the locker room, he was saying that that's something he's really been, he said he's not the best coverage guy, and he said it's something that he's really been working hard on.
That was the only weakness on the scouting report. Like, if we entered this season, and I was scouting for your offense going against the Chiefs defense, okay, when we get to the Leo Chenault section, Swiss Army knife, like you guys said, really versatile, very smart football player. So you got to really work him on routes and you got to disguise things a certain way based on film. But if we get a certain down and distance, if we get a certain personnel group, I believe our tight end can beat Leo Chenault. I believe our guy can win on wheel routes, which is basically what Mark Andrews did.
Yeah, Lamar's going to take that every single time.
Every single time. And, you know, Leo Chenault, good tackler, forces fumbles if given the opportunity in space. Decent enough pass rusher that you got to pay attention to him, can set the edge really well, can be in the A-gap as sort of that mugged up linebacker to help make, you know, your protection scheme a little bit confusing, but could also drop into zone coverage and be decent. But if we get him man to man, that's his greatest weakness. Well, that didn't look like the weakness.
No, not at all.
And they didn't get another opportunity to do it for the rest of the game.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Let's get a quick break in. We'll come back. I want to talk about the AFC West, the Chargers charging a little bit. Also look ahead to the Jags a bit more. That's coming up right here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here on Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, keeping an eye on some postseason baseball. Now, top of the sixth inning in Cleveland. Guardians, Tigers tied up at one run. Tigers had that 1-0 lead, and then it was Guardians had a play at the play. They originally ruled the runner out, and they challenged it, and it was overturned.
Came around from second to score.
Yeah, that was impressive. That was really impressive. But this is 1-1 with two outs in the top of the sixth.
I look at this, I'm just like, you don't want downtown baseball?
Oh, the aerial shot there.
You don't want downtown baseball?
And that's Cleveland.
By the way, today is the day that Jets...
That's Cleveland.
Not unrelated.
I can't confirm our downtown is nicer than Cleveland's.
Yeah. If you live in Jackson County, today's the day that they're having to vote whether or not to recall Frank White.
Yeah, it is the recall election. That's true.
If they have to put it up on September 30th, do they need a vote?
He's been fighting it.
It's over.
It's okay. I'm just, you know.
I don't know. Voter turnout on this kind of election is usually pretty low.
Correct. But the fact that you have to do it is sort of signifying that not looking great. You know, Frank's been nice to me.
He's been nice to me in person.
That's all I can say, guys.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all I can say. I have.
He's not been nice to property tax owners.
Nope. He ain't been nice to a lot of people, I've heard. Yeah. But, you know, I ain't in that.
Talk about a 180 on the legacy. My goodness.
I want to bring up something we talked about, a wide receiver earlier, that I think is maybe been under-discussed, or maybe I'm just way off base. Maybe I'm too early in this. So we talk about Rashee Rice in the four games he had last year and the rookie season he had.
Uh-huh.
Based on the last 10 to 12 games of Xavier Worthy, including an absolutely great performance on Sunday, should there not be more discussion that he's made an argument for being a wide receiver one? Or a co-number one with Rashee Rice?
It would be, his
numbers have been as good as Rashee Rice's four games. He's had multiple stretches like that. Should he not be considered for co-number one, a joint guy, like guys who's like back and forth, who's the leading receiver in a given week?
I'm willing to hear the argument. I would like to see.
I'd still lean Rice.
I would like to see a little bit more evidence. It's nice to have him be as good as the Chiefs thought he would be, even considering the injury on Sunday. Just putting Marlon Humphrey in a deep dark world.
Oh man, was it him that he put that?
Yes,
that he put that.
Yes, the clip you're talking about. Yes,
that was tough.
So
that's ankle breaking stuff. Usually talk about like,
and I think and I think Andy's correct when he says about like. You can really tell the year one to year two connection with Mahomes in terms of like what to expect, them both seeing the coverages the certain way, you know, the same way. Again, they're going to face on paper, even though it doesn't have as many names, a better defense on the road Monday against the Jaguars. So let's see how that looks. You know, I don't think anyone was expecting, you know, more than 100 all-purpose yards. He's a great... He and Rashee Rice are a great addition to the running game because the Chiefs can just always throw the ball. And this is where the Matt Nagy effect comes into play. I just want to make everybody aware of that too. Like, but when you have someone like Rashee Rice, we can just throw you the ball behind the line of scrimmage. So there was a lot of like talk, and I understand that, about, okay, well, if you're seeing shell coverages, if they're worried about Worthy taking it over the top, if you have Kelce, if you have Juju Smith-Schuster, who are capable blockers in the open field, then you could just throw it to Rashee Rice every time. And that is essentially a long handoff. And as we've seen so far, Rashee Rice might be more capable of breaking a tackle or two in space than Isaiah Pacheco or Kareem Hunt. So they are both pluses to the run game. The Chiefs play the Denver Broncos twice. If Xavier Worthy performs well with the complement of Kelce and Rashee Rice and Thornton and, you know, the mix of Juju Smith-Schuster, then I'm willing to lean more towards your argument. I still think Rice, based on his postseason performance, and we're getting further and further away from that, but every, like, the funny thing about that 2023 season is he was just learning, same way Xavier was last year.
He's better his rookie year, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and there was nobody else. Like, it, like every defense knew, oh, they, it's even going to him or Kelce, and he was still super-duper productive. So I still think is, you know, Rashee Rice has the ability to be a top 20 receiver, maybe top 15.
It's shaping like A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith from a couple of years ago. It's shaping up to look like that.
That'd be an amazing setup.
It depends on Rice's ability, but it's shaping up like it very much could look like that.
And you know what? They have a better quarterback and a better offensive scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. A.J. Brown's on an undefeated team.
That Eagles offense has been unfun to watch.
He didn't complete a pass the entire half.
A.J. Brown's on an undefeated team, and he's out here every week tweeting how miserable he is. It's crazy.
And by the way, this is a man who also, by the way, has won a Super Bowl, played great in that game, been to another one, and the his former team had Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill with nobody else. And even now, he's like, I don't know, dog. I mean, winning's cool, but I'm out here working, guys.
They have two halves of football with negative passing yards in the second half. They're 4-0, so I mean,
and they're so talented, top to bottom on the roster, that it honestly does not matter.
They might be the 20. It'll end up being last year's Chiefs, as in they'll finish 15-2, and everyone will be like, I don't even like watching that team play football.
But
because like the Chiefs did feel that way towards the end.
But I would fully expect it though, because again, they do have a very good coach in Vic Fangio. I want to make that clear. Their offensive scheme is very simplified, but they got the horses, man. They got the dudes. Like Saquon is never going to have a season like he had last year, but he's still top towards running back production, especially when, you know, they even showed the finally, it's like they showed the wrinkle to the tush push on Sunday. I mean, it's all set up there. I mean, Goddard's a really good player. Like, I mean, it's not great, guys.
What about the West, Nate?
Well,
the Chargers charged a little bit already.
They look like a team that had kind of,
who has no offensive linemen.
That too, but they had, but they showed up in the first quarter like, we got it.
Yeah.
We good. Now they got into a little bit of like schedule unluckiness because the Chiefs did get Russell Wilson and the Chargers got like,
athletic.
They're gonna let him throw the ball? Huh, that's cool. Oh, he can run? Oh, he's gonna try to run me over too, like Patrick Mahomes. So Jaxson Dart showed off what he can do, and that was fun. And but even when Malik Nabers went out, it wasn't like all of a sudden they were just like, okay, well now we'll focus. He doesn't have a clear number one option like the Chiefs took away the week before. In fact, Jaxson Dart and the offense still moved the football well. So Joe Alt's injury is pretty massive because he is such a good player, and he moved obviously from right to left to start the season due to another injury.
But he'll be back though, right? They're saying it's a high ankle sprain.
2 to 4 weeks or
that,
maybe longer.
But I mean, for an offensive lineman though,
who's playing out of position, can I just point that out?
Yeah, that could be 5 to 6. I mean, I'm always a little bit leery when they're like 2 to 4 immediately, and you're like,
that's quick.
I mean, I've had a high ankle sprain, and I'm not playing professional football, so sure. I mean, now I don't get the necessary treatments and the best medical staff
you.
That money can have, but it like, but there's only so many limitations that the body can do. So again, and based on his value to your team in November, December, I would actually say take the 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. Like you can manage it because you had such a good start to the season. They should have won. But yeah, they went up against a legitimate pass rush, and that's what happens, man. Like some of this is matchup based, some of this is not being ready to go when the game starts. And I talked to Carrington about this too on Friday. I thought, hey, 10-11 wins definitely out there. But their schedule gets a little tricky towards the end of the year, which can make this AFC West race really interesting.
It's probably too early, four games into the season. I'm already just like, all right, it's between the Chiefs and the Bills. Right, the Ravens off. Lamar's going to miss a couple of weeks. I never took the Chargers serious, and then now they just lost to the Giants and don't have offensive line play. And I'm like, well, even if you were thinking maybe Cincinnati's coming back, well, no Joe. So it's like, I might just be down to the Bills versus Chiefs at Orchard Park in January and just pencil it in.
You, I understand. Yes, you could do that. I would obviously be intrigued by that. You know, that's the last time they're going to play in that stadium, guys. I don't know if the Bills are going to be the one seed, but hey, they have the potential.
Their schedule's a joke.
They have the potential to host the AFC Championship game, which will be their final game in Highmark Stadium.
The last win in that stadium.
I'm just saying. It's a possibility if you get there. I still think Denver's frisky. Okay. Indianapolis also
defense
has,
is good. Yeah. Benito's a stud.
Indianapolis also has a schedule that makes it tricky. I don't know what to make of Jacksonville. I've said that like every 10 minutes. I have no idea what to make of them.
They are a better team playing better defense, but Trevor Lawrence
a lot of turnovers.
And Trevor Lawrence looks equally as mediocre as ever. And so I'm like, kind of thought if they were going to be 3-1 this year, I would have told you, oh, Liam Cohen finally unlocked.
Correct.
Trevor Lawrence out of the mediocrity.
Right.
And it hasn't been that at all.
It's actually been ETN just doing awesome stuff.
Ryan Thomas has been.
He's there.
Quiet.
Yeah. Well, that's partly to the quarterback. Can I interest you in the 3-1 Pittsburgh Steelers?
No. I still don't think they're any good. They're going to win they might win that division, and I still don't think they're that good. They're going to be the 4 seed, possibly, host a playoff game, and they're going to lose to the Chargers, the 5 seed.
Okay. Hey, I'll be there. I'll be ready to watch, you know, which, you know, we know this could be similar
10 or 11 games because they're the Steelers.
But I mean, Mike Tomlin still enjoy it. Still do it. Yeah. Hey, if you give Mike Tomlin a functional, living, breathing quarterback, I get you 10 wins. You know, with my eyes closed.
Yeah, and no, he's a hell of a coach. It's just they've beat Justin Fields and Joe Flacco for 2 of their wins.
And Carson Steele, Carson Wentz.
I messed that up. Carson Wentz and Justin Fields.
In retrospect, just since you mentioned Flacco, it's first all the Sanders Shadur stuff was he didn't want to back up behind Lamar Jackson. He didn't have a chance to start.
He's starting this week.
He didn't have a chance to start this week.
And that's
how much longer can the Browns start Joe Flacco? I mean, seriously.
I think after the bye, they play in London, and then they'll
come home.
They'll Gabriel after that.
Yeah. Time to go to the next.
Okay, I don't want to do this, but like if I could, I'd actually play Joe Flacco the whole year. Protect both of those kids. It ain't worth
don't
it.
Don't you need to find out, though,
I'll find out next year. We ain't going nowhere.
With a new coaching staff.
Let them
get his higher draft pick. Let this be Joe Flacco, swang tong. He'll make it interesting. You know, he'll play occasionally well in November, December, but like I don't know if it makes the roster doesn't like I don't know if it
Tillman's
makes sense
out now too.
Yeah, I don't know if it makes sense to play either one of those kids, and that's why it's always tricky because and I love Deion Sanders and I understand their perspective because that's a franchise quarterback, but I would also say like that situation is far better at actually teaching, developing your son. Like, what is Cleveland going to do for you that has demonstrated anything over a 2-decade period versus going to one of the most respected, well-developed, good coaching staff, awesome quarterback, someone who won't be threatened? You know, I'm not saying it's the same as the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes situation, but it could be a little bit of like, hey, you know, this will be the better version of the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation where it's like, hey, at least Lamar would talk to him.
If you look good, someone will trade for you.
Yes.
I mean, that's just the way it works.
And by the way, like having your body develop too matters. I think as much as the mental acuity was a big thing for Patrick, like you are preparing for college football. Then you're preparing for what we call the draft, which is not football. And then they throw you out there in like week 4. And we're telling Jackson Dart, please, Doc, it's a long game, boy. And hey, this ain't 12 games where 6 of them are just against competition that, like, does it really matter from an SEC standpoint? Yeah. No, all these dudes are good, and it's 17 games, and you need to manage your body. So, like, even if you were a backup, that's 2 years to like actually work on your body to play legitimate NFL football. Look at pictures of Patrick Mahomes in 2017 and look at pictures of him in 2018. Very and different. Look at pictures of him in 2019. His body changes because you actually understand what you need to do to get prepared to play the most physically demanding sport in all of professional football, you could argue.
Really small, and it probably doesn't matter because it was last week. Mike Tomlin dropped one of the most devastating burns
that
include Joe Flacco I'd ever heard. When he was at a press conference, said, I told him not to hit Anthony Richardson because we didn't want Joe Flacco in the game. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't hit Anthony Richardson. Keep that man upright. We're trying to keep him healthy and in the game. I'm like, oh my God. That's a massive insult to someone. That is a burn.
I mean, look, Tomlin's been in this long enough to know now that he's gotten to like this, you know, Kobe Bryant era where it's like I can say anything just because like I've been in it so long, and you know my voice carries a lot of respect and a lot of perspective. It also helps that like, you know, he's never had a losing season, so there's a lot of truth there, and you're just like,
it's an effort of coaching. Don't hit the quarterback.
You told us this? Yeah, like, whoa. So I agree. I have the same reaction. I was just like, but hey, that's Mike Tomlin. He can get away with it.
Actually, yeah. In a weird way, it is great coaching. Leave Anthony Richardson in a football game.
And you learn something, right? We so much, again, I just want us to all learn something and gain better knowledge and get real insight. So even though it's like, I don't know if you should say that, it's like, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I do.
Because you learn something, and the way these teams talk about each other is really fascinating. What gets out, what doesn't get out, and letting that one out is pretty cool.
What about Cam Ward and the winless Titans?
I mean, if we keeping a buck right now, we ass.
Yep.
That's
a leader right there. Hey, I don't need to, you know, that, and that's a funny thing, too.
It's not like everyone in that locker room doesn't know it. They know.
Go
tell them.
This is the one exception, guys. This was a one quarterback draft. We all knew that. That is pretty much what they're shaping up to be. We'll see how long Jackson Dart can take this, right? So, okay. Their situation is a little bit different. They got to play somebody. And because you're number one pick, there's a little bit different pressures on you. Clearly, you still have the fifth year option. This is a new regime. Is Callahan going to stay? I don't know.
No.
It's not Mike Bergonzi's guy. So we can kind of see how this is all shaping up. That's a leader, and I don't need to see anymore. That boy can play.
His receivers are dropping passes every week. It's crazy.
It's weird. I do see a little juice there.
They could have beat the Broncos in week one, and his dad was like, guys, catch the football.
His dad was losing it.
Say it one more time.
Now we ask.
You know,
hey,
quickly.
Bro, I agree. Hey, that's a leader, and it's better to acknowledge it now because he's got 17 games to like just experiment, just to work on stuff. He's got an NFL arm. He's mobile. Like, again, they got technically pieces around him if it comes together. You just want to see real improvement in the second half of the season, right? Whether it's on offense, whether it's team leadership, whether it's just making better decisions. He's the one young guy. He looks. God, I hate seeing this, but he looks better than Carolina. Like Carolina could cut Bryce today, and I wouldn't bat.
They went back and tried again after benching him before, and now he's right back to being the Bryce before. You can't pay him.
You got to walk on it.
You're going to be a top five pick again, and just take another quarterback.
I mean, again, I'm being real, real critical, but I would walk on it like now.
By the way, if I were a Titans fan, I'd buy that shirt with the Titans logo that said, we ass so fast. If in 2012 they had sold, admit it, if in 2012 they had put a Chiefs logo on a shirt and just said, we ass, because Tyler Pennant said it, you'd have purchased it.
Hey, and like it's a good inside joke. Everybody knows reference. Uh-huh. Hey, this is where we're starting, guys. We are starting. So I don't know what the next level is after ass, but like
if they become like a great, you know, they become a great offense 2 years from now, I can say we pass.
Yeah,
they can do whatever they need to do. Altered as time goes on.
Real quick before I let you go, Nate, Tyreek Hill, devastating injury last night, knee completely shredded. I was saying someone that relies on the speed the way he is, he's done, right? Like he relies. I mean, I'm saying he'll be in a training camp somewhere in a year and a half, but I mean, the way he plays. He's not going to be as electric.
That's the beauty of the sport, man. It can go real quick, and we got to appreciate these athletes for what they give us. Because guys are right when it says it's 100% injury success rate. Mm. At some point, the league and the sport is going to get you. But yeah, that was that was tough, despite everything that involves him, you know, in Kansas City.
Sure.
He's a great player. He should go. He should still go in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Are arguing that. It's like, what are you mean arguing? He was a literal game changer. So it's unfortunate that it might not be as elongated as some guys we've seen, but tough.
Thanks, Nate. Nate Taylor from ESPN. We're back at it tomorrow. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.